Welcome to the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. We are so excited to welcome you on this journey to amplify your impact, skyrocket your business, and change lives through the power of your unique story. Be sure to listen to the daily prayer along with the speaker sessions and participate in the daily challenge to receive not just inspiring information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't forget to download the free gifts provided by each speaker, which is an opportunity to go deeper on what they shared. Enjoy this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another super awesome session. You know, I'm going to say this before we even get into talking, that I know this is going to be a super awesome session. So you better get whatever pen, paper, notebook, notepad, whatever you got, because it's going to be fiery. Let me just tell you right now. My special guest coming on in just a second is Dr. Tajiri Brackens. I want to call her Tajiri, because my eyes just cross when I see her name, but it is so beautiful that I did not want to mess it up at all. And I do totally love your name. So we're going to be talking about monetizing your story. I can't wait to get into it. Welcome aboard, Dr. Tajiri. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. First, I'm truly honored to be here on this platform to pour into your listeners and just give them some gems, give them some nuggets, just something that they can take away that's going to be practical for them in their professional and personal lives so that they can move and shift to their next level. So thank you for trusting me with your listeners and being on this platform so we can give them something to work with. As that Bonnie Raitt song says, let's give them something to talk about. Come on.
I know that's right. Bonnie Raitt, my favorite. I knew you were the one. Oh my goodness. Monetize a podcast, Bonnie Raitt, because a lot of people are listening to her, but that is fantabulous. All right, let's get into this thing because I know inquiring minds want to know. So my first thing out of the gate that I would love you to talk about is tell us who you are, who you serve, and all about you so we can know who we're getting to know here.
All righty, so who I am, who I be. I am Dr. Tajiri Brackens, for short, Dr. Tajiri or Dr. T, known in these streets as the workplace wizard and culturologist. So let me tell you how all of that came to be, to its conception and manifestation, and who I am to this day. So working in corporate America and coming from an MLM, which is a multi-level marketing direct sales organization, did that for over three decades. So I learned a lot about relationships, about sales, about humanity at a whole nother level, but that's another talk show another day. That taught me really what leadership was about and how relationships tie into leadership and how powerful they can impact the way one is able to lead. So in the direct sales market, like I said, did that for probably was about 33 years or so, if I really sit and think about it. I know it's been in the 30s, in the mid 30s for being in that environment. And what I did was I looked at the teams that were doing exceptionally well versus the teams that were not doing so well. And it's like, what is it that they have? What is that it factor that makes them succeed at a high level versus those that were just barely getting by? And from that analysis, I realized that it was the relationships that they had amongst the team members. And with the relationships amongst the team members, when you've got somebody that truly has you feeling like you belong there and like they want you there,
right,
versus just, oh, she's here, presence is here, that makes a difference on how you show up and how you show out for others.
Yes.
And with that, I was like, okay, there's really something here. I mean, I've known it, but it's another thing when you look at it through leadership lenses.
Right.
For me, through my niche of leadership. And what really was the caveat for me was being in that direct sales environment, and who was my director, my mentor. We had goals, you know. Always goals. Anytime you have a team, anytime you're in leadership, there's always going to be goals. So, goals set for a particular month. And at the beginning of the month, it was my intention to fulfill my part of getting the goal accomplished. But life happens, lives. And sometimes you have to redirect and deal with what's on the table and what it is that you've got as far as the challenge at the time, and then be able to come back into the world and do what needs to be done. So that's exactly what happened to me. So I fell short, consequently, of not being able to do all of my part of what I had committed to in the beginning of the month as far as reaching the goal. And these words were told to me, and it not only stung, but it let me see another perspective of leadership. You ready for those words?
I'm ready. What were they?
You cost me money.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Those four words, you cost me money. And it was at that point when I realized you don't care about me. You just care about what I can do for you, who I am. And that takes away the connection and the relationships. Or if you look at it on the other side of that coin, that let me know exactly what the relationship was.
Right there.
Right then and there. And that was just another tick. Or another, you know how you do those ticks when you're counting up by fives, one, two, three, four, five, the slash, one, two, three, four,
Yeah, I love those.
So that was the extra tick that made me say, this is not leadership. This is not what it's supposed to look like. Leadership is about impacting and empowering people, not stifling them or manipulating them for your advantage.
Oh, wow.
So that was what I took away from the direct sales organization. Mind you, I was rising and doing my doggone thing. I was on my way to being in the top 2% of the company. But once I heard that shifted everything about that person and the way that they were operating their organization, not the company itself, but that person. And I knew that is not what I wanted, and that is not how things should be. Because when you know in your spirit, and you know in your heart, and you know what you are called to do, what you are anointed to do, and when it gets disrupted because it's not right, and I say right is right, wrong is wrong, then it's going to force you to look at things in a different light and choose to go in a different direction. So, with that, now I won't take away the experiences that I had from that. That's when I truly, honed in on building relationships, not only with team, but also with my customers.
Yes,
And
definitely.
understanding them and what their needs were and taking me out of it, because if I gave them what they needed, they would in turn give me what I needed and what I wanted. So that was my framework and my mindset and my spirit and where I was anchored as it related to that. So with those soft skills that I learned in the direct sales organization, they were transferable. So I took those over into corporate America. And in corporate America, what that looked like, this particular example I'm going to give you looks, I mean, again, because the skills are transferable, it shows up in other ways. But I'm going to just give you this example. And what that example is, I was working with Continental Airlines, so that lets you know how long ago that was.
Continental.
No longer in existence. And I was,
This experience is still there, though. The
yes.
awesomeness, yes, still
Absolutely,
there.
absolutely. So, I was in the accounts payable department. Now, let's be real clear. Math was not my greatest subject when I was in school. So, what in tarnation made me think that I could sit up and go be in an accounting department. As I say, that math wasn't mathing, but it was still in my industry as far as hospitality and airline. Because I was a corporate travel agent for about 25, 27 years. So it was still kind of in my wheelhouse, just doing something different within the industry. So that being said, being in the accounts payable department and those transferable skills that I took from the direct sales organization, I understood the power of connection and relationships with people. So my responsibility as a purchase card auditor was, as the words say, to sit there and reconcile credit card statements. And you know, technology is great, but it has its flaws. Right. And when they would scan over their receipts, not everything came through legible. So consequently, I would have to reach out to the card holder and say, hey, can you resend this particular receipt? You know, whether that be that conversation was initiated via email or if I just didn't see them passing by and I remembered that that was the case. But if they saw my name come across email or even on the caller ID, they knew why I was calling. But when they did pass by me, because again, those transferable skills and I built relationships with them. Hey, you said, you know, your daughter, your child had a recital this weekend. How did that go? You went camping. How was your vacation? I haven't seen you in a week. Where you been? Oh, vacation. Oh my gosh. Vacation. Where did you go? How the small talk, small conversation, building that relationship. Now, I'm not trying to go deep as far as, you know, you going through
all your stuff.
You know, the divorce and she's ringing you through what happened. I'm not trying to get all because that ain't my business. That's not
right.
I'm just letting you know that I see you. You're not just a name and a number to me that comes across in the portal. So because of that, and I had built the relationships with them, then whenever I asked them for something via telephone or email, or again, in passing, if it was something that I remembered, then they would simply get it to me in a timely manner.
Right. You're working together. You had built that bridge, that expectation, that relationship. So you gave and they gave and y'all both got what you wanted. I think that's what it's all about, even in this business.
And from that, my supervisor and other people on the team, they were like, how is she able to get, you know, to be as productive and professional as she is?
Right.
It all boils down to the relationships. If I may dare push the envelope a little bit. With that, I'm going to give another example, something to think about. We'll just use your work environment, the workplace. You've got a great relationship with someone and or a decent relationship. I'll say that. Great. Let's put that parameter. Decent to great relationship with someone. And they ask you or you ask them to do a favor for you. Because of that relationship and how they see you in their lives and how they value you, even if they've got a platter, not a plate, but a platter full of things to do and a laundry list of things that have to be done because you asked for it and how they feel about you in the relationship, they will figure out a way to get it done.
You're so right. You are so right. Yes.
Versus the flip side to that coin, if you just have somebody in passing, let's say the other half of that, up to a decent relationship with someone, if you ask them to do it, you're not going to have the zeal. You'll get it done because of your character. But there won't be as much zeal in trying to finagle and get it done. It'll get done at the 11th hour. You know, it can be pushed up to that point. Whereas, again, the other relationship that I mentioned, it'd be like, oh, this shouldn't take that long. Let me go ahead and do it now. Knock it out in 30 minutes or however long it may be. Boom, it's done. And now I can go back and do everything else that I need to do that's on my platter. So when you look at it that way, that reinforces the power of relationships.
Yes.
And that goes as far as networking or everything. You just put that in whatever type of relationships that you have. When you have a great one and you don't look at the relationship as to what you can do for me and what it's all about, me, 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 me. It's all about the money that I'm going to get out of you. It's all about, what you can add as quote unquote value to me and my lifestyle. If that's my only focus, I'm not going to get anywhere. Because don't
Right.
nobody want to work with, don't nobody want to be around, don't nobody want no parts of that in their life if that's the drain that you're pulling from them and that's not a reciprocal relationship that's there. I mean, think about your personal relationships. If you are, and I'm just going to say platonic here, if you're in a relationship where you're constantly giving, you're constantly doing, that drains you. And you don't want to do for that person. You just don't have the energy. You're not giving from your overflow from the sauce. You're giving from an empty cup that's barely getting by itself. So I give you those two examples in corporate America and in the direct sales organization to tell you how the workplace wizard come about. Or came about. So, with examining that and understanding that power, it let me realize if I was going through that, other people had to be going through the same thing too.
So true, so true. Yeah,
It
we're not
was
alone. We're not alone
not.
in our struggles or in our celebrations. So we have to kind of realize that and capitalize on it when we can.
Absolutely. As I say, there's nothing new that's under the sun. It's just all
Exactly.
integrated. It's delivered and then it comes. So I put my spin on it as I matured. We'll just say that word. Matured in life. As a child, my favorite story was The Wiz. Not taking away from The Wizard of Oz, because obviously that's what The Wiz is based off of. But there's so many more layers in The Wiz versus The Wizard of Oz. Plus, for me, it was culturally appropriate. And with that, I can sit and watch that movie over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, like I've never seen it before. Now, mind you, I will say the lines, I will sing the going to
So
happen.
get ready. Get
Yes,
ready if you're watching it.
exactly. So I still watch it as if I have not seen it before, but now I'm looking at it through leadership lessons and what teams look like. And you've got, so what does that look like? That is Dorothy, who is the visionary or the team leader, and she's got her team of the Scarecrow, the Lion, and the Tin Man. They all have to work together to get to the goal of getting to the Oz. Now, each of those team members have different pedigrees, different backgrounds, different strengths, different weaknesses. But when Dorothy hones in and breathes life into the strength versus focusing on the weakness, then they are so much more powerful together. Even Toto, so much more powerful together and getting the goal accomplished versus them having the strife and the conflict between that. And then even once they get to Emerald City, and visit and get a chance to meet the wizard. The wizard is a whole nother beast within himself. So I kind of look at that as wicked leadership, because the wizard was hiding behind who he truly was. So in using childhood stories, that takes away the barriers, the preconceived notions, the biases, and it takes you back to a place of simplicity, a nostalgic place of simplicity where people can truly understand, because I don't think there's not one person that does not know the story of the Wizard of Oz. I don't think there's one person that does not. And being able to simplify it, because I believe in simplification in everything. Earthing
Earthing.
doesn't have to be difficult and complex. And there's so many things that can get done in the simplicity of processes and systems versus the complexity of it. So that's why I use childhood stories, because they're easily relatable. And once you leave my space, now you can have something tangible and executable after leaving my trainings, after leaving the lunch and learns or whatever it is that I'm doing for the organization. After you've left the four walls with me pouring into you, once you get on the other side of that door, then you are able to execute what it is that I've given you that was palatable. Because, I mean, how many of us have been to lunch and learns, been to conferences, been to trainings, but we do it just to check off of the to-do list? As we are engaged in the topic, in the subject matter, we really don't do anything with it once we leave. Well, that does no good. No good to the company, no good to you. So I simplify it in childhood stories so that, again, it's executable and that you can be better as a result of being in my space once you leave. Oh, excuse me. Once you leave versus what you were like when you initially came into my space.
I have to say that you may or may not be surprised to know that we share like a common kind of thing because I don't know what your MLM thing was, but mine was I was introduced when I was a baby almost. My mother did Avon. She's so full of brush. She sold all the things door to door. She loved it. And of course, since I grew up with that, I was like, okay, this is how you make some extra money and stuff. So I got into Mary Kay Cosmetics. I actually got into Mary Kay five different times because each time the director or whoever was trying to sell me on it was like, and I knew, they didn't have to tell me all this stuff. I knew, but I was never cut out to be Mary Kay because I wanted to change the whole way Mary Kay did her stuff. And obviously she never asked me, do I need to change that? I'm like, yeah, you do. Because, I thought about it and I'm like, if I'm having a sale, Mary Kay doesn't have a sale. It's just me having this sale and losing this money. So I'm like, that doesn't quite work for me. Now I
That
do.
math ain't mathin'. That math
Yes.
ain't
The
mathin'.
math ain't math. I'm like, And I do have a Mary Kay lady right now. We just actually got off the phone the other day. I order their stuff. I love their products, but I can't work for that company because I'm like, nope, you are not digging in like I am. I just feel like even though it's only 50% of what the retail price is, it's still 50%. And if I sell something, put it on sale, then I'm only making 25%. I'm like,
Look,
this ain't gonna
listen,
work.
I'm gonna put it to you this way. 100% is better than 50% all day long, which is
Yes.
what I do now.
Yes.
Again, the lessons learned, horrible. And
They're
one.
transferable. Yes. And I say that because I know a lot of our listeners out there right now have been or are now involved in these type of MLM companies, and some of them are like you, top 2%, top 3% doing a thing. Some of them are like me, I ain't doing that because, but wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we have to look at it like, is this the right thing for me to be doing? I don't care if you're the senior vice president of the MLM in the world. Is this the right thing for me to be doing? Because you know how you're going to make your money. If your people don't sell, you ain't making no money. And I've seen too many, I've had friends and so many, Melaleuca, all of that. If you're on fire and you're selling and your people ain't selling, you ain't making no money. That's just it. Or you're making the
Excuse
bottom
me,
round of
say,
money.
cost me money.
Yes, you're costing me money. Yes. No, when you said that, I was like, God, I can relate. Because in all my time, and this was over several years, they even got my husband involved to get me to sign back up for that fifth time. And I told him, I was like, I'm trying to tell you. He just saw those bumblebees and that $1 million ladder or whatever it was. But when you get in and you start working it, you'd be like, yeah, I could do this myself. I could find something like this. And that's exactly what you and I did. So that brings us right around to this story thing in the eyes of God, in the world of Christianity, believers, and all of that. Because I had mentioned earlier, Christians ain't supposed to have no money. We're supposed to be broke, and we're supposed to be giving, 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 and not worried about how it's going to come back, which is totally not the truth. There are so many women of the Bible who are making money.
We're
And
heirs to the kingdom. Out
yes.
head and not the tail. You'll be a lender. You can't be a lender if you ain't got no money, no extra to be able to
True.
give.
That's true.
It's right there. And as I said earlier, the Bible talks more about money than anything else. And how
Right.
in the world can I serve the kingdom and the people of God if I ain't got no money? Granted, I can serve in talents.
Yes.
And treasures. Those are the three in which you can serve. Well, you ain't gonna all,
I know, because I listen, check this out. Because I'm like, to people who are starting, and I was a good friend of mine is a nonprofit leader, NGO, I think she says. And she was like, she was actually telling people, stop starting those nonprofits because there's so many nonprofits out there. How much money do you think is out there that's going to be funneled straight to you and your nonprofit? And the thing is, those nonprofits have to turn around and start using the things that other people are using, secular business, Christian businesses, whatever, marketing, getting the word out, doing different things to get that money in, because the whole thing is about the money, getting the money in so you can then serve. But like you said, if you don't have no money, even nonprofits need shoes. Somebody got to have a house.
Look at
Somebody wanting to do their
the
hair.
NFL. One of
Yes.
the biggest
Yes.
nonprofit organizations, but they are extremely profitable.
Are they nonprofit for real? What? I didn't even know that. Oh my goodness. I did not know that. I just knew they were a for-profit.
Unless something has changed, but I've known them to be an NPO.
Wow. Which makes sense with a lot of the things that they do when they're getting those players to go out and help with the kids and all these other things they sponsor and stuff like that. Does make sense. Wow.
That's
Learn.
just corporate responsibility. That's all that is. It has nothing to do with being an NPO. And that has to do with their image and how other people
Yes.
see them. That, for me, that's what that is. I don't see a direct, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I
Right.
don't see that as a direct tie as to them being an NPO. That's just corporate responsibility. And
Wow. That's kind of what we
the way I
think
see
as seeing, people are out there. I'm like, wow, they're doing all this good for the neighborhoods and all that stuff. We don't really think about it is that a money play? Or is that a I'm looking good play? Or is that a hey, we got to do this, come on. Because sometimes nonprofits will say, hey, we got to use this money some kind of way, so let's just go use this money. And if you're really savvy about it, nonprofit or otherwise, you can really get some good stuff, because companies have to get rid of the money. But we are not talking about the companies that have to get rid of the money. We are talking about monetizing your story. Everyone out there, they want to know how to monetize their story. When I saw that you were doing monetization, I was like, yes, a woman after my own everything, because we're not supposed to be poor. We are supposed to be, what is that scripture that says, I wish you would prosper as your soul prospers. So if we think that, our soul is on fire and all, your money need to be on fire too. But it don't just come to you, just it don't grow on trees. It don't just grow up out of the earth. It don't
Well,
just,
technically, because it's paper.
well, that's true. That's true. But if it's not that green paper, or in Mexico case, if it's not that color paper, it ain't gonna do nothing. So we do have to, on this summit, we're talking about stewarding your money, sharing your stewarding your story, sharing your story. And today we're talking about monetizing your story. And how do we do that and keep our Christian integrity? And I'm gonna answer that myself for a second. I do it just fine. I know that I'm supposed to have money. I work hard for my money, and I do use my money to feed myself, clothe, put, the house up and all of that. But I do really think about, what does God want me to do with this? And it's not like he's throwing me pennies and say, hey, do something with that penny right there. He's making a way for me to make real money. And that's what we're going to help you with. So I wanted to start this off, Dr. Tajir, about with this question. Why did you choose this category of monetization to come on and talk about here?
I'll start with money is up there with oxygen. You got to have it.
Yes. You can't do anything without it. You just
Money
can't.
is up there with oxygen. You got to have it. And with that opening it up, or broadening that, digging deeper, is with money, you can just do so much. You can do so much. And I like to operate in a place of integrity and impassion, and in doing and believing in right is right, wrong is wrong.
True.
So with that, I want to be able to support whatever causes. I mean, kind of going back to what we were talking about with the NFL, I want to be able to support whatever causes that are in alignment with my belief and my belief system.
Yes.
So with that, again, you've got to have some funds to be able to do that. And getting money should not be taking away from other.
Right.
Yes, they're going to be paying you. There's going to be that transaction. However, it should not be a place where I continue to mooch off of you and take and take and take and put you in a bad situation to where you're
Exactly.
not able to fall into the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. First is safety and security, which means lodging, food, all of what you need just to simply live. I'm not saying the extras, but your
Right.
base living. If it's taking away from that, then I am not being a good steward with the funds that
Right.
I am asking for. So with that, again, just having the funds to be able to do and to go about. And then of course, word says you will be paid for your gifts. Your gifts will make room for you. So if you operate in who you are, truly who you are to the core, then the money is going to naturally come. You know,
Right.
word even says, give and it shall be given unto you. So whatever that it is that you're giving, that's what's going to come back to you. And it may not come back from the same person, the same entity, the same avenue in
Or
which.
same time, or same time. You can't plant and harvest at the same time. You got to do some stuff to build up on it and then receive, then you're going to the harvest. Then you're getting the harvest. You're receiving, you're getting, but you got to put into it as well.
Absolutely. And then it comes back from whatever other avenue that is kind of like, oh, that's a God wink. Now I see why I did what I did. Not
Right,
that you did
exactly.
it for personal gain when you did it, but now I understand how it's all connecting together. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good. Not some, all things.
All things, all things.
So you begin to see and connect the dots and be like, okay, that's why that happened the way that it did.
Yes. And we shouldn't be afraid of it. I think with some of the teachings that we've probably all been a part of or read or understood or been instructed by, we're not to be arrogant with our money. We're to help others, but we got to get the money first. And we have to make sure that we're doing the right thing to do the money, to get the money in. And then we got to steward it. And just like the whole thing with, there was a big controversy a few years ago about the big mega churches and them not paying taxes, and the government tried to come down on them. And they were like, we're doing exactly what you told us we could do. We're taking in the tithes. We've listed ourselves on the federal income tax or whatever, and nothing really came of that. But I'm like, you may not agree with the TD Jakes and Creflo Dollars and all that, how they do, but they're not doing anything technically wrong. But I have questions about what they do with the money, but they didn't ask me, so I'm just saying. So I don't want people's lenses to be colored by that stuff. I want us to look at how can I make the money that God has propose that I do in my life? And how can I make sure that I'm staying in integrity with me dishing out the money or spending the money or even using the money? So sometimes, it can be just a big old thing with people. The next question I want to ask you is, how do you feel that this category of monetization, which some people look like, oh, I don't want to listen, how does it apply to what you're doing now and have done in your business?
Well, if they've been with me since the beginning, they've been with us since the beginning, they know how. It has built the foundation as to who I am, how I am, the way that I see things, the way that I process things, and the way that I deliver things. As much as I want to say I need a million in 2 months, it ain't gonna, one, it's not gonna always happen that way. I'm not gonna win this to what it is that he can do. First, let me be very clear on that.
Amen.
Because he can change things in an instant.
Yes.
I'm not going to limit him on what he's able to do. But when you, again, are clear, I mean, clarity goes a long
Yes.
way. When you are clear on your messaging and what your purpose is, then you can figure out how to shape it, how to tell the stories, how to relate to people so that they understand you are the answer to their problem because you see them. You know exactly what they're going through. You've been there, you feel their pain. You know what it's like to be in that place. You've been there. You have literally walked in their shoes, and they can see themselves in you. And now you become the answer for them to be able to help them through or getting through those challenges, those same challenges themselves. And I believe in stand on, stand 10 toes down, cemented, my feet in cement. And all of that, cinder blocks, the whole thing that we go through what we go through to help somebody else be able to go through it easier
Amen to that.
and without as much strain and strife. So even if you look at the parental child relationship, when a parent is raising a child, they can see and know what's coming around the corner because of certain decisions. So, what does a parent do? And I'm using this as best case scenario because I know that there are some not so good mothers and fathers. So I'm using this in the best case scenario. What does a parent do? They guide you, said, hey, you should do this instead of this. Well, why don't you try to do this instead of this? Because they already know the consequences of doing anything other than what's going to come about. So let me help shorten that learning curve for you because I know what's right around the corner. If I know there's a bulldozer coming around the corner, I'm not gonna send you around that corner. I'm baby, you either need to keep straight or you need to go in the opposite direction. Now, we do have the choice of free will. If you choose to go around that corner after I done told you, and I know that's grammatically incorrect, but after I done told you, going this particular route, don't do it because I know the bulldozer is there. If you choose to do that, then you got to deal with the consequences as a result. But if I'm showing you a better way, a smoother way that can get you to where you want to be faster and where you want to go faster, why not do that? I mean, it's like a GPS.
Or ChatGPT or Claude.ai, any of those chatbots and stuff. I wanted to hone in on what you were saying because, both of us have experience. We've done certain things, we've been in corporate, we've been in MLMs, and we take all of that experience and we package it up and we say, hey, you don't have to do A, B, C, D. I have a way you're starting. I have a way for you to skip all the way to G. And I'm going to share that with you in exchange for the investment you make with me. And I don't think that we should be standoffish from that or sad about that or embarrassed about that or feel any kind of way because our experience, our knowledge, our things that we have worked so hard for, we need to monetize it if we're going to go that route. But even if you're a leader, a leadership person, and you're an entrepreneur, What's wrong with you moving to the highest ranks and getting paid the most money? Nothing. Nothing is wrong with that. Money, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Not money is not.
Misquote that all of the time, and
They
as
do.
much as I love the OJs, as much as I love that song, but I cringe every time I hear that verse, and they say that money is the root of all evil. It's not. It is not. It's the love of it, not is evil. And people go around and they misquote that all the time. I mean, that baby, that ain't what word says. Word says the love of, and they really
Yes.
like
And
you're gonna quote it right.
and don't try to make up something or add your excuse me, your stuff to things, just like the Bible is. And if you're feeling any kind of way about what it's saying is too many translations, then go all the way back to when it was first translated from Hebrew or whatever language, and look at, how they translated it then. Because I know there's a big movement out there, the Bible wasn't written by God, it was written by men, and our faith is stronger than that. So we're not going to say, yeah, maybe. I mean, anything could happen. But I truly believe in my God, my Jesus, my Holy Spirit, that He is here to help me, nudge me in the things that I can do that are good, and kind of like sock me in the face and say, what are you doing when I'm not doing the stuff that's right? And the love of money can lead you in so many crazy places, but money itself is not good or evil. It's just a thing, an
It's a vehicle.
energy, piece of paper, it's not anything. There's no entity you can put into that. It's money. So how you use it, that really shows your character. Now
Absolutely.
I wanted to go to this question. How can listeners emulate what you've done with your story inside their own business?
I'll begin with first, be true to thine own self.
Yes, definitely.
Because you cannot be authentic and true if you don't know who you are. Kind of like when you're dating that honeymoon phase, those first, they are amazing because you got that representative that's there. But the carrot in the seed is the seed. So if that's not who they are, start paying attention around the 6 months and start looking at those signs and those things. Like, wait a minute, this is not congruent to what it was that you were showing me before. This is this is not fitting into the puzzle as far as the big picture that you gave me in the beginning. So, don't send your representatives and do that bait and switch thing. I mean, in commercials back in the day, they sell you this picture of what your meal is supposed to look like when it comes sitting at your table.
You're like,
But
what? What is that?
you expecting a Ruth Chris type of presentation, but you end up getting a Waffle House delivery and presentation. And I'm not knocking either of those restaurants.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
It's
it's the fear.
expectations,
Exactly.
expectations.
Exactly. And if you're going to do something, do it. And do it with excellence. Because if you're going to continue to monetize it, then you want the people to see you in an excellent route and an excellent site so that they will either continue to come back to you or they will continue to refer to you and speak highly of you and be in those rooms and those places that you cannot step into, but they become your advocate because of how you showed up in excellence as it related to them. So that's how they can take what I've shared into their own personal lives, into their own business lives and professional lives, and being able to grow from there. Again, standing initially with be true to thine own self. If you don't like doing XYZ, don't do XYZ to try and get some doggone money because you're not with excellence. And it's going to be energy that will be felt to the person that would have paid you for that particular service or that product, whatever it is. And then when they don't get what they are expecting, that's when you get your chargebacks. That's when you get your negative publicity that's on social media. That's when you don't get your referrals. That's when you're not able to grow. You're not able to scale. You're not able to, move up and level up in your business because you didn't show up authentically in what it is that you were doing. So stay with what it is that you like to do. Stay with what it is. I say when I'm coaching people, if somebody were to come ask you at 3 o'clock in the morning, wake you up out of your sleep about XYZ, and you could just spit it off like it was your name, like they were asking you what your name was. Whatever that is, that's what you need to do. Or what do people continually come to you for that you freely give that information, that you freely show them how to do blah, 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 blah. Then that's what you need to think about monetizing, because it doesn't take an extra lift, an extra pull from you to be able to do that. Yes, there's some work that has to be done. Part of that work, experiences that you had that enables you to be able to give the advice to that person, which is why we charge what we charge, because I'm shortening your learning curve. You see how all of this is weaved together? So,
Yes, speak, speak.
with that, do something that doesn't pull a lot from you, that doesn't expect a lot of you, but that you could do at any time, and you don't dread doing the duties or doing what's required in order to get the monetization, in order for it to materialize, in order to bring it to fruition. If it's going to drain you, that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. That's the easy
Exactly.
thing.
Yeah. Are you doing it wrong? You're not doing it the right way. You didn't get the right maybe education or instructions, but that doesn't mean that you can't solve this problem and move forward. If you started out doing something that you really love or you really can do or whatever, you can do it. Don't think that you need to go out there and get another degree or another cert. Or, work with another coach when you feel I've run into so many people, I can't do this now because, and they list off this litany of reasons why. That's just fear being in there. Go out there. We are not supposed to be living in fear. We can do anything and everything that we want because we are children of God. We've got to recognize that. We got to put that full armor on and go out there and do what we're supposed to be doing. And God will tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes we don't listen. But he will still tell you whether you listen or not.
Relationships. That goes back to relationships. What type of relationship do you have with him so that
Amen. Yes.
he's speaking to you and guiding you and ordering your steps? Are you knowing that that's him telling you which direction you need to go in? Because if I can be real transparent and honest, I faith my business out. I don't know what I don't know. I just continue to move and things get revealed to me. And once they're revealed to me, then there is the creativity. There's more of a vision. It's like, this is how I can do this. This is how I can make this more efficient. This is how I can be more productive in what it is that I'm doing, because I'm literally faithing this out. But even in faithing it out, that does require that I have to take some type of step to move forward. And in doing that, then as I'm moving forward, then I'm seeing again how all of the pieces come together and work together. Going back to Romans 8:28, I mean, I feel like this is a cyclical conversation, that all things work together. So I got to keep some type of movement in order for something to come in and be able to be blessed. Because you can't bless nothing that ain't moving. You
You're
can't go
so right.
nowhere if you're standing still, if you're paralyzed, if you're stagnant in one position. You've got to be able to move from point A to point B. And then that point A to point B may get you like, oh, now that I'm here at point B, oh, snap. I see I can go straight to G. I'm from B, but I wouldn't know that until I got to B. So to be some constant movement. And then you have to use discernment in your movement. And that discernment comes from clarity and getting wise counsel as far as your coaches and mentorship. and those things that are going to be able to move you forward. Because people can say, yeah, I can do this for you, take your money, and then you're looking like boo-boo the fool because you ain't got
Right.
you
They
ain't
don't
got.
even know what you're talking about. What was I supposed to be doing? I had a client that happened to, and it was so disheartening that, she relied on a friend. She was really a friend to help her do this project. And at the end, the friend didn't even know anything about the project. She just said, yeah, I could do it because I kind of did it for myself. And, yours was different. Yours was more complicated. No, that was not acting in discernment. That was just acting out of, I want some money. And now they're not even friends now. That's just, that's terrible. We don't want that to happen. So that's why we're here doing this summit. That's why Nadine and I put this on. That's why we have the people like Dr. Tajiri on here right now to help us. Because you're right, this is a cyclical conversation. Everything you started off with is what we're ending up with. And this it applies right into this question. What's the lesson that God has taught you about your story? Because you're talking about monetizing it. What is this lesson that God has talking about, has taught you about monetizing your story?
Okay, I'm going to give you somewhat of a street answer.
Okay. Uh-oh, the streets are talking. They always are.
Carnal answer, as some others would say. The hell that I went through is to help you so that you can go over that bridge a little bit.
Wow.
And even though I didn't like it as I was going through it, I understand why I had to go through it.
Exactly.
It was to strengthen my muscles for what was to come next. So it's kind of like when we go through school, there are prerequisites, and you can't get to graduation to your senior year until you've done what needed to happen and learned what
Right.
needed to happen in your freshman, sophomore, and junior years. And even in that, you have these extracurricular classes.
Yes, definitely. The elective classes and all this other stuff you got to take that you didn't know about you needed to take when you were first going down this road, and now you find out, oh my goodness. So it you have to be like looking. You remind me of me and my husband when we first decided to escape the States, like I like to say, move out of the US. And we were just like, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? And then 2 years after we were planning, we're here. So we've been here for a year. But we often sit down and say to ourselves and anybody around us who would listen, like everything that we went through in the States was a step in preparing us to be here where we are and thriving where we are. It didn't seem like it at the time. Sometimes it was like, God, why are we here doing this? Or God, why is this thing happening to us? But now we see that. We see that. It's come full to fruition here that we were being prepared for the things that we were going to do, and we didn't know anything about them. So that's how our God works. He already knows what's going to happen. He was preparing us. So when we got here, we were okay. I have to say, knock on wood over here, I have to say that our experience has been nothing less than spectacular. We have not had any issues, and I pray to God that it stays that way. Now, could we have just moved somewhere inside the States to another state and something like that? Maybe, but we would not have gotten the peace that we have now, the understanding that we have now, and the ability to manage everything because I feel on fire. I feel like there are so much stress that was peeled away from me, the major peace that God brought us into. So I can do anything. I feel like nothing can stop me. And, I love that feeling, but we don't get to that feeling until we have gone through what we need to go through to get to the end. And none of us knows what that is. We're just doing our thing, praying. But I do know this. If we pray, we have a goal in mind and we pray and we believe and we visualize it, we can manifest it. God will help us to manifest this whole thing, whatever it is that we want. And I've always believed that. I believe that even until this day, right now, in this time right now, even with you and I talking, I believe that with all my heart, all my heart.
Beautiful.
That's giving me goosebumps. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I love it. So we've talked about how to monetize your story, and not just in like, okay, you need to charge this. Okay, you need to make sure you got this program. Oh, okay, you need to make sure you got that platform. We've talked about the soul pieces of it, the relationship parts of it, the things that we don't often think about that are holding us back and stopping us from being the Christian who can make money and be okay with it. Because that's basically what it is. Can we make money? Can we be okay with it? Can we feel like we have blessed people and we're a blessing? Yes, we can. And Dr. Tajira, you have helped us to think about that so many different ways. I love it. I love it. So before I let you go, can you let us know? I know you have a gift for the audience, and also tell us where we can find you on the in the internet streets.
Look, I'm gonna make it very simple for you. I'm not gonna tell you need to go to this platform, that platform, this platform, that platform. No. Just simply go to my website and then click the link on the platform that you want to go to, and it'll take you right where you need to go. My website is Dr. Dr. Tajiri, T-A-J-I-R-I. That's T as in Tom, A as in Apple, J as in Jack, I Igloo, R Roger, I Igloo. In case somebody needed that phonetically.
I know somebody did. Somebody needed that.
Dr-Tajiri.com. And there you'll see everything about me as it relates to the Workplace Wizard and what I call the Oz experience, how to connect with me as far as staying connected with my newsletters or you know, thing was, where's Waldo? Where's Dr. T? So you can figure out where I'm going there. That will have my social media links on there, so you can see, you know, hey, if Facebook is your place, you can find me on
there
Facebook.
You go.
Yeah, if LinkedIn is your place, you can go
there. You go.
Instagram, your spot, you can go there too. Now, mind you, I do have some of the other platforms, but if you really want to find me, that's where you're going to find me, on those three. But yeah, simply going to my website, dr-tajiri.com, and you can follow me and go there. I love to connect and continue to pour into your listeners and those that that are connected on this summit and on this platform.
Yes, definitely. And we need you, definitely, because sometimes we just got to have that little voice that's outside of what we're doing to tell us, hey, wake up, do this. And you are definitely that voice. And I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today and for helping us out with this monetization thing in this summit, because we're all here to learn. We're all here to excel. And you have helped us so much. So I want to thank you so much for coming on and being our special guest speaker.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That's all I have for you with Dr. Tajiri. But there is another session coming. So stay tuned for the next session. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. If you haven't already, be sure to listen to the daily prayer at the top of the page and make sure you check out the daily challenge. The challenges are specific to each category and are located at the bottom of the page. Are you thinking that you won't be able to listen to, learn from, or enjoy each of the 24 interview sessions? No worries. Simply upgrade to the Power of Your Story All Access Premium Pass. You'll get lifetime access to all 24 recordings, plus the Power of Your Story swag bag worth over $2,555. There's no better time than right now to create and promote your story and skyrocket your business, and you'll have access to the tools you need forever. Click the link to upgrade right here on the page. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the next speaker.